Are you hungry spiritually? Please open in your Bibles to the book of Hebrews, chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1. Progress is good most of the time. Can you imagine taking one of our kids going to a museum to see some of the things that humanity used that is that was you, not me. To see some of the things that humanity is used to use that no longer uses. I feel sorry for the horse sometimes, or maybe they're glad. But a horse was the means of transportation years ago. You're looking at me like I'm guilty. Okay. So, but the car has replaced the horse. Cell phones have replaced mainline phones in homes. I can see a kid walk in, see the old phone, and say, "What's that?" And now they say that telephone company, they're aware that people are no longer having a mainline in the house. Colored TV replaced black and white. The computer Gmail and email has almost caused the post office. Okay, don't touch my jacket. The computer has, with the Gmail or email, has... And this thing's about to be replaced. It's not touching my jacket. Sounds like a kid. Don't touch me. Stop touching me. Bill Cosby. Nobody could do a Bill Cosby. But the Gmail and email has almost made letter writing obsolete. My mother still writes letters. She goes to the email, but she still loves to put that personal touch. In the Old Testament, and even New, God communicated in a variety of ways. Unfortunately, some of those ways, which are still available for communication, have almost become obsolete, and they shouldn't be. But let us take a look at Hebrews chapter 1. And the writer is addressing this fact. God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners, means in different ways, spake, communicated in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. Jesus came, he walked the earth, and Jesus spoke. He says, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. In Hebrews chapter 2, he, with that thought in mind of verse 1, he says, therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed or pay attention to the things which we have heard. Well, what's he referring to? He's referring to how God spoke. And so we should pay attention to not only what he, how he spoke, but what he spoke, lest at any time we should let them slip. Verse 2, for if the word spoken, that was an audible word that Jesus spoke. For if that word, and he's referring to the words of Jesus that was spoken audibly, that they heard, for if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression, disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? And then he says, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord. I'm wanting to preach today on how God has communicated since the beginning of time in the Garden of Eden. At the first began to be spoken by the Lord, and he says, was confirmed unto us by them that heard him, bearing them witness in verse 4. So they're saying, we heard what the Lord said and what he has said by the prophets. We heard it. In fact, not only did we hear it, we saw what was spoken was confirmed, bearing them witness with signs and wonders and with diverse miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost according to his own will. When Mario was here, he made a comment that I thought was pretty insightful. Jesus would have a big crowd, and then he would say something that would tick everybody off, and the crowd would be reduced. And then Jesus would perform a miracle, and the crowd would get big again. And then Jesus would say something that would tick everybody off, and the crowd would shrink back down again. It was what Jesus said. And then when he performed miracles that validated his word, gave it credibility, that caused the crowd to think, well, maybe we should go back and hear what he has to say. I'm going to talk this morning, I want us to look at the ways, and I may be leaving a few out. I think I've covered most of the bases. How did God communicate? I preached last Sunday on experiences. And Amber, I was thrilled to see you were the first one up. That you really have a hunger, and I want to commend you. Your sincerity is very pure. And may God bless you as you look to the Lord. But when God speaks to you, however he chooses to do that, that is an experience. I'm not talking about something in your imagination. I'm talking about God actually speaking to you, and we call that an experience. How has God chosen to speak to people? And because there are so many ways that we're going to see, it tells me that God wants to talk to us and wants to communicate And he has made so many ways available for us to have that happen. The first one, I'm going to mention two. One of them that is no longer used, and the other one, it's questionable whether it ever was used, but not now. And then we'll look at others that I believe are biblically just as relevant. The first one is found in Exodus chapter 28, 30. These are not in order, but they are just means whereby God has been able to communicate with us here. In Exodus 28, 30, it talks about Urim and Thummim. The priest could use the Urim and Thummim to determine God's will in a particular situation. Now, we are not exactly sure what the Urim and Thummim were, but the priest, we do know, carried the Urim and Thummim in their breastplate. Some say perhaps it was two sticks or stones, one white, the other black, that would give a yes or a no answer to a specific question that you were asking the Lord or the priest. For instance, should Israel prepare for battle? And they would go to the priest. And in the priest's garment was a place that held the Urim and Thummim. Should Israel go to battle and they somehow would shake or toss whatever it was, sticks or stones, if they turned up black, the Israelites would not go to battle. These are what the old writers say, and if it turned up white, they would proceed into battle with the knowledge that they were in the will of God. In Exodus 28:30, we find these words written: also put the Urim and the Thummim in the breastpiece, so they may be over Aaron's heart. Some writers believe that these stones, if they were stones, would glow. When King Saul began to displease the Lord, and his actions elevated to the place where God, in his wisdom, would no longer talk to him, Samuel, who was the prophet that anointed Saul in the first place, was often one that Saul would go to find the will of God. But in the 28th chapter of Samuel, Samuel dies. And it says in 1 Samuel chapter 28, verse 6, and when Saul inquired of the Lord answered him not, neither by dreams, nor by Urim, which meant the Urim and the Thummim, those within the priest's garment. And when Saul inquired of the Lord answered him not, neither by dreams, nor by Urim, nor by prophets. So right there we have in the Word at least three ways that God would communicate. And it was dreams, it was the prophets, and it was the Urim and the Thummim. The prophet would be, in this case, Samuel. Now, some translate the words Urim and Thummim to mean curse and blessing. Others simply dark and light. Some of the early rabbis believed that the Urim and the Thummim were a series of stones with Hebraic characters on them by which the Lord could spell out a message for the high priest. I tried to imagine what that's like, and it's like a cereal box with all the letters, and you pour it in, and it's floating, and you somehow it's supposed to... We really just don't know. But most believe them to be sticks or stones. But we have no record that Moses ever used the Urim and the Thummim. Now, in the case of Joseph, who was someone who we know heard from God. God spoke to Joseph in a dream that we know is recorded. In fact, when his brothers saw him coming, they say, "Here comes the dreamer," and they kind of mocked him. And there have been questions as to why Joseph had a cup of divination. Anybody ever read about Joseph's cup, his silver cup of divination? And you'll find that in the Old Testament. But it has been asked, how is it possible, since God would condemn such practices later under the law of Moses, did Joseph have a cup of divination? The story is, when his brothers left, he told his servants to take his silver cup of divination and put it within their stuff and then accuse them of stealing it. And so Joseph, when you consider how he was getting his divine information up to this point, we know he got it from dreams, but Joseph, did you use a silver cup? And it's interesting to note that Joseph is the first of the patriarchs that God does not speak to personally, like he did Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That was more of a personal one-on-one thing. But Joseph was, they said, one of the first of the patriarchs that he did not speak in that manner. Now, it seems that God spoke to them in a way differently than he did to Joseph. Now, let me just clear the air. We have no record of Joseph using that cup. I personally do not believe he used it. We do have record of God speaking to Joseph through dreams. Now, goodness, this thing is not a Pentecostal recorder. Every crucial piece of information that the Lord communicates to Joseph throughout his life, it comes through dreams or symbolisms in the form of a dream. And God gave Joseph the ability, only from God, to interpret dreams. You never find Joseph, this wonderful character, perhaps a type of Christ more than any other in the Old Testament, you never find Joseph out of touch with God, floundering or wondering about what will happen. So it seems, in my opinion, very unlikely that he would ever felt the need to consult anything about matters of the future. So it's believed that Joseph makes this statement about his silver cup of divination, that it is one of pretense and theatrics. It is believed that the silver cup is a prop that is used to set a trap implementing his brothers. I personally don't know, but I lean in the direction he did not use a silver cup. He simply used it to, it was something that the heathens used, and God forbid it under the law of Moses, but here Joseph makes reference to it, and I think he was just only using it to entrap them. But we do know that God spoke to him through the dreams. So now let me go down the list of showing ways that God has communicated to a people. Now remember, the Bible had not been totally written yet. Portions of it had been written, but they had not collected all the books and put them together. This came through a period of time, look at how then did God speak to them. Now, I'm not saying he didn't have some written thing, but a majority of it was not through the Word. It was through other means. So, number one, as in the case with Abraham, and you'll have to use your own imagination when you read the story how God communed with Abraham, but it was very interesting. Number two, we know God spoke to people through dreams, as in the case of Joseph. We know he used a dream and gave one of the greatest revelations of Christ coming to a heathen king in the book of Daniel, Nebuchadnezzar, who didn't know the Lord, but was given an incredible dream. And there we know Daniel was used by God to interpret it. Then number three, the Urim and the Thummim that the priest had. Number four, prophets. God would speak to the prophets, such as Samuel, Elijah, Elisha. And then the fifth way is by lots. In fact, when the children of Israel entered into the promised land, how did they know what tribe to give what part of ground? They cast lots. And the Bible, in the book of Proverbs, makes two references to lots. And you saw me. I wasn't even moving. Doug, would you go shut this off, and I'm going to go back to this. Jim isn't here, so... Excuse me. In the book of Proverbs, it mentions lot casting two times. One time it says that the lot causes contention to cease. And the old timers, and I knew preachers that prayed by lot, the old timers, they believed you only do it if there's contention. And if you're not sure, and then it says the lot causes contention to cease. Well, it only ceases if you believe in it. And it's been debated over the years whether this is something that should be done today. You come to the New Testament, and we find when Judas died that Peter said, in fact, old Joseph Parker, who was Charles Spurgeon, had a church just about as big as Charles Spurgeon across town. He writes on this, and he says, Peter stood up when he should have shut up, because Peter said this scripture must needs be fulfilled. And there's a prophecy that did prophesy that Judas would do what he did. And it says, let his office or his position be filled by someone else. So Peter says, this is before Jesus told me to go do one thing. Go tarry in Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. That's the only thing he told him to do. But when you're waiting 9 days for the Holy Ghost to be poured out, I suppose Peter's ADD kicked in, and he just he stood and said, we need to fulfill this scripture. It was prophesied that Judas would do this, so we need to put someone back in his place. And so the Bible says they cast lots. And the two people that were candidates was Matthias, and I forget the other one. And it's argued, my pastor used to say, when he would argue against the lot, and then I knew preachers that were for the lot, he would say, well, you never hear of Matthias again. And you could argue, yeah, and you don't hear of other guys mentioned again either. But the other place in Proverbs it talks about, it says the lot causes contention to cease. So they said, you only do it if you have contention. And the other point in Proverbs, and I'm only quoting Proverbs, I'm not quoting the passages that deal throughout the Old Testament when they would cast by lots for many of the decisions on what to do. But the other one in Proverbs says that the lot is cast into the lap and the disposing is of the Lord. So yes, they did cast lots. In my early days, I had some ministers that taught me about that. And I probably because of the way God has steered my life and having often been used in the word of knowledge, I felt more comfortable hearing from the Holy Spirit than I did casting lots. You find that they cast lots for Jesus' garment. But I'm only dealing, we shouldn't be afraid of what this Bible says. And it does say that God did honor and use the lot in the Old Testament.
I would recommend prayer myself. But then another one that we can tell if the Lord is speaking is by circumstances. You can find God speaking to you by circumstances. Let me give you a biblical example. In 2 Samuel, how many want to have every way available? If God's going to talk, you want to be able to have that communication line available. And I mentioned last week that I believe in experiences very strongly from the Lord. Unfortunately, there are a lot on the airways and TV, or mostly radio preachers, that poo-poo experiences. And they have a tendency to only point out wrongful experiences. And they put it down. And they come back and say, if God's going to talk to us, he'll do it through the Word. Nobody's arguing that. Nobody is saying we don't have the Word. But may I remind you, Mr. Know-it-all, that in the Old Testament, they didn't have the Word quite like we do, and they had other ways that God spoke to them, and these other ways have not yet become obsolete. And I want every available way, if God is going to talk to me, I want to know it. And so one of them is circumstances. And I mentioned that these that propagate that type of thing, maybe 6 months later down the road when they're talking about their own experience, oh, that one's of God, yes. So I'll listen, I say, oh, I see, so your experiences are of God, but anybody else's, oh, no, no. And don't get me started on that one. But number six, God will speak to us by circumstances. He can speak to you through circumstances. 2 Samuel chapter 5, verse 12 is a wonderful passage that shows how this happens. It says, and David perceived that the Lord had established him king over Israel, and that he had exalted his kingdom for his people's Israel's sake. Now here's David. When he was younger, Samuel the prophet came and anointed him. You're going to be king. But it didn't happen overnight. And it took time. And finally, in this passage, it was the circumstances that let David know this is God. And he has now established this. He has now made it real to me. Again, I want to read. And David perceived that the Lord had established him king over Israel, and that he had exalted his kingdom for his people's sake, Israel. When you read the circumstances around that story, the leaders of the tribe came to David and they said, David, we want to join in and we want you to be our king. And it was through those circumstances David perceived. How many have ever had a circumstance happen and you realize it was God that orchestrated it? And this is the Lord. And this is God doing it. He will speak to you in these ways. Now, another way that God spoke is by fleecing. How many have ever heard of Gideon's fleece? Gideon, when the angel showed up and said, Hail, thou mighty man of valor. And Gideon later, when he began to sincerely question, God, is that really you calling me? What is this really you? He put out what is called as a fleece. And the ground, he put out a piece of wool and said, if it's you, I want the wool to be wet tomorrow morning and the ground dry. And sure enough, and I may have this backwards, the order of things, it happened, which was really against nature. You would think both of them may be wet. And so then Gideon says, Lord, if this is really you, then I want it to be the opposite. And sure enough, God honored that fleece. I was taught by old ministers, as we were young ministers heading into the ministry, an old minister came and he taught on this. I think my pastor was about to have a heart attack because do I believe in fleas? Sure I do. But I believe you must do it right. Don't do it wrong. And if you're going to put a fleece out before the Lord, don't do it like this. Lord, if it's your will for me to move to Hawaii, let me see a white car today. Well, duh. Now, if you were to say, Lord, if it's your will for me to move to Hawaii, then let me see a white car with the last three letters on the license plate, XGP. Now, if you did that, that's a hard fleece. And then if you saw it, all right, I won't argue with that. But I've known of people in ministers, they get really worried when their people start fleecing. And because people make it too easy, and then their hearts deceive them. But do I believe in it? Sure I do. I have fleeced God on two occasions. And on each occasion, I made it hard. And I've shared with you those fleeces. One of them was whether we were supposed to take this church in my home church. And one day coming home from a conference, the Lord spoke to me going right down Highway 5. It was first by the Holy Spirit. My wife was sleeping. The Lord said, as I look, and we're heading home in about 5 or 6 months, the pastor's stepping out, and here's a church of about 300 people with a parsonage, and everything was nice when the Lord spoke to me and said, you will pioneer a church in this town. And I started crying or weeping, and my wife heard me and thought it was my allergies, and said, you need an allergy pill? I said, no, I need a confirmation. And I told her what God said, and she, how many know women love security? And leaving this nice, secure future, are you sure? And honey, I believe I heard from God. So we went back, looked at the town. But now, how many have ever questioned yourself whether that was God or not? And so for the next couple of months, I didn't tell anybody except my wife. I was, it was on my heart heavy. You're to pioneer a church, so you're to start up a church there. And I don't want to bore you, you've heard this 100 times, but it was, my grandpa died in Newburgh, Oregon, and we were going to go to his funeral. So we got into the car, my mom and dad. I remember it was a 1972 Buick Skylark. And we had about at least 70 relatives in Red Bluff, California. So as we're heading north to go to Newburgh, Oregon, we stopped off at Red Bluff. I knelt down and I told my wife, you know, tomorrow we're going to be driving by that town that you're worried about. I may be going there. And, oh, honey, are you sure? And I said, this is what we're going to do. I'm going to fleece God. If it's His will that we go there, I want a man to come up, because tomorrow morning we're going to be going to a drugstore, probably to get some supplies, etc. And I'm going to ask God to bring to me a man dressed in red. If this man that is dressed in red, he is going to symbolize a red stop sign or a red light. And he's going to say something. I want him to say something. He may know he's led of God. He may not know he's led of God. But I want him to be wearing red. And I want him to say something that will quicken to me that, yes, I'm to go to Wairika. But if he's wearing green, then he's going to say something. And I'll know that it was not God that spoke to me. It was just my heart that played games on me. Can that happen? Sure it can. And so that was the prayer. And the red will represent like a red stop sign or a red light. Means stop. Yes, you're to stop and start up a church. Or if it's green, then that will symbolize the green light. Just forget it. Just keep on going. Next morning we get up. We pull into the town. My dad asked what intersection he wants us to take. I said, take about, there's only three, and take the second one. It'll get you the heart of town. Well, my dad, and this is why the Bible says, in all thy ways acknowledge, lean not into thy own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. So my dad, whether he knew it or not, God was driving that car. Because my dad took the first intersection. And I'm thinking, Dad, no, the second one. But he took the first one. As it was 8 o'clock in the morning, or 8:30 thereabouts, as we went underneath the freeway, now in the frontage road that goes into Wairika. In fact, right now there's a McDonald's. Didn't used to be one there then. And a Motel 6. And as we started to hang a right on the frontage road, out here was this truck, and behind it came, there were six men, but two of them came out, and all of them had red coats, red pants, red hats, red boots. It was a fluorescent. They must have made a mistake in the dye. I've seen the bright orange, but this one, no, had a weird reddish look to it. And one of them walked around our car and said something to one of them. My wife, you were in the back seat along with my mother, and said something, came around, and my heart is just going like this. And I'm looking at her, and I rolled down the window, and the fella stopped and held up a portable stop sign, and he said, "I'm sorry, you'll have to stop here for a while." It was a road construction crew. And I turned to her, and okay, well, we made it very hard. It was the Lord. Do I believe God still honors fleeces? Yes, if they're done right. And don't you go crazy on me now. But folks, and here's what ministers do. They have reduced God speaking to us only from the Bible. And I don't knock that. But I wish they would read their Bible and find out that God used fleeces. One other time was when I was doubting whether I was in the will of God. And I wanted to know, God, forgive me. This is probably immaturity on my part. And you don't even have to answer this prayer. But I'd feel better if you did. But Lord, let me find tomorrow an old clothespin. And if I find an old clothespin, it'll be a sign that I'm right in the middle of your will and I found favor with you. Because, Lord, I read where you said, Daniel, thou art highly favored. You told Mary she's highly favored. You told Joseph you were with him. And, Lord, I believe you're the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now, how many know sometimes God may just say, "Oh, grow up." And he's God. But I was sincere, and the next day I didn't find no clothespin. I was looking for him. I was looking for clothespin around every corner. It don't work that way. And I remember that night in my prayer time, I said, I didn't find a clothespin. But, oh well, Lord, you don't have to answer this prayer. I understand. The next day, I'm working on a little project, and I'm taking the wood off of this wall. And up at the top of this old garage, I saw on what we call a cripple in between the two, a jar. And I didn't know what was in that jar, and I'm jumping up to try to get what is in that jar. And all of a sudden, I got a good hold of it, and I thought the whole thing was going to come down on me, and it tipped over, and I thought, oh, it's going to fall. So I dropped down, and I'm covering myself, but the jar happened to tip over, and out of that jar was full of clothespins, old clothespins, and they started landing on me, and I'm thinking, oh, when I saw them. I just broke down, had a good old Pentecostal shouting time and crying. Now, folks, that's the only two times I've done it. I'm not given to that. But do I believe in it? Yes, I do. But if you do it right and make it hard. And if it's his will, he may. He may not, like Brother Skip preached about healing, a wonderful passage in John. He may not, but that's his call. But that's called a fleece. Then number 8, another way God speaks to us is by nature. Psalm says the heavens declare the glory of God. Romans chapter 1 says the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen. And so, yes, God can use nature to speak, simply to let you know he's real. Reminds me of the professor that was getting up, making fun of the students. Anybody that dared believed in God was an idiot. And this one student objected. and said, "No, I believe in God." And he said, "Will you prove it to me?" He said, "I will prove it to you." He said, "Professor," he said, "I want you to go out tonight in the part of town where there's away from the lights, and I want you to ask God if he's real." And this professor said, "I will." So the professor got up, did what he was supposed to do. The next day, he couldn't wait to see that college student who challenged him. So he told the college student, he said, "I did, and nothing happened." The college student said, "Hold on." He said, "What did you feel like?" He said, "I felt like a fool." "Thank you, sir. The Bible said a fool has said in his heart, there is no God. You just confirmed the scripture." Now, I don't know if that happened or not, but that's what I was told. So, creation. Number 9, angels is a way God has communicated since man has been on this earth. Throughout the Old Testament, God would send an angel often to give a message. Sometimes the angels are disguised as men. Sometimes they're angels, and it's obvious they're angels. The New Testament says that, be careful, you may be entertaining an angel and not know it. And there's all kinds of stories of that going around, and I personally have never had that experience, but I don't make fun of these experiences. Joshua was getting ready to go to battle, and he sees this soldier with a sword drawn, and Joshua, who followed Moses, who was very spiritual and had many experiences, he asked that one, he said, "Are you for us or against us?" And it was an angel. And he said, "Neither, but as the captain of the Lord of hosts of Israel am I come." And then it dawned on Joshua, oh my goodness, that's an angel. And he got down to worship, and he said, "No, you stand up. I'm not to be worshiped. I'm one of God's messengers." So do I believe God still does that? Yes. There's one scripture we should hold on to dearly, and that is this. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And there's only two of the ways in the Old Testament that I can emphatically say from the Word of God that he's not communicating that way anymore. And one, it's questionable whether he ever did. The first one was the Urim and Thummim, and the second was the silver cup. And it's questionable whether that was. But all the others, I would not put down. Number 10, and this is what, unfortunately, the church has reduced it down to, is the Word of God. And they say, if God's going to talk to you, he's going to do it by the Word of God. I know. But would you read that Word? Because the Word tells us there are other ways that God uses. So yes, I believe that God speaks to us by his Word. And I don't in any way want to minimize or put down this Word. And David even talked about, thy Word have I hid in my heart. But he didn't have all of the Word. He had some of the Word, and yes, they went by the Word in the book of Nehemiah. They read the law daily to the people. And so, yes, but what I'm saying is unfortunately, many have just reduced it down to the Word. And I'm not going to just reduce it to the Word. The Word is right up there. And number 11, Jesus, his words, when he came, before they wrote down anything Jesus said, Jesus spoke. And that's what he's referring to in the book of Hebrews. Jesus, when he was here, he spoke. And we've put those words in red. And when I read words in the Bible that are red, I go slower. And then the Lord speaks to us by the Holy Spirit. We know that. But oh, may we know that, listen, when you get saved, his Spirit comes in you. And in him we live and move and have our being. And many, many times he's talking. We're just not understanding. And may God give us wisdom. But oh yes, he speaks by the Holy Spirit. And then, one other way. And that is when he answers your prayer. You could be praying for something and asking God to do something. Oh God, do this, do this, do this. And you don't hear from the Lord. You don't know if he's going to do it. He hasn't even given you a peace that he's going to do it. But you're still praying for it. How many know what I'm talking about? And then all of a sudden, one day, your prayer gets answered. How many know God just spoke to you? The answer was yes. You don't know before then. A great example of that is Hannah in the Old Testament. Now, some may challenge what I'm about to say, and I understand that. But there was a priest by the name of Eli. Hannah had a strong desire to have a child. And she didn't have a child. And she's hurting really bad. And the man that she is married to had another wife. I believe it was named Peniel. And she had children. But Hannah didn't have any children. And she kept wanting a child. And this other woman, who was married to the same husband, would provoke her and tease her to where the Bible said Hannah fretted. And it bothered her. And she's grieving. And the Bible says that her husband loved her more. If there's ever a case against polygamy, they never work out. But he loved her more. And by doing that, it made the other wife jealous. And she'd put Hannah down. Maybe say things like, I could give him children, but you can't. And Hannah is grieving and she's upset. And the Bible said she went to the house of God in Shiloh. And there she is at the altar. And she's oh, may God give us this kind of prayer. And she's just pouring her soul out before the Lord. And the priest sees her and thinks she's drunk. And he rebukes her for being drunk. And she says, I'm not drunk. And she tells him what she's wanting. And here's where it gets debatable. He says, you know, the Lord bless you. Some believe he was prophesying she would have a child. Some are saying he just made a gesture. I don't know if he was anointed in what he said. But I don't think what he said, she took a lot of heart to it. Because Eli had a terrible reputation. He had two sons that were sleeping with everybody. And the temple, and they were taking the best of the sacrifice. And Eli, he was one that wasn't disciplining his sons. So if he did say something, I don't think it gave her that much assurance. But she still, and then the Bible says that she had a child. And she knew, wow, God heard my prayer. Sometimes God will speak to you just by answering your prayer. And when he does, be sure and thank him. And so I just have tried to show that the Lord speaks to us in many ways. I know we don't use the Urim and Thummim anymore. But I don't want to reduce it down towards just this, which many are doing. I believe in this. I get direction and etc. But I'm a man of prayer. And I don't mean that braggingly. But I believe in seeking God with all your heart, mind, and soul, and strength. And he can speak to you in many ways. Debbie, would you come? I want to share something with you. The Lord has made very real to me, and I don't know what it means. But I know this. A big change is coming to this church. I don't know what that means. But I'm willing to put my neck out on the line and say there's a big change coming. And anything God does is good. So I want you to be in prayer with me. I want to see some Hannah prayers. I want to see people really seeking God. If you'll seek Him, He chooses how He'll answer your prayer. And He will. How many know He answers prayer? Yes, He does. Would you stand? Heavenly Father, I thank You. You're so real. You've been real to me ever since the day I got full of the Holy Ghost. It's been a long journey. And as Hebrews said, in times past, God spake in many different ways, but now He speaks to us by His Son. And His Son that was in the Old Testament is still in the New. And Lord, we're Pentecostal people. We're full gospel. And Lord, give us wisdom. Let us not use the word in a wrong way. But may the word, may we never reduce down to just the word. As wonderful as it is, create a people that know how to hear from God with wisdom and maturity. And we seek Your will. Could I ask you to come forward, please? And I want us to join our hearts together as a church. My wife knows this. I never lie about the Holy Ghost. How many know God is concerned about us? Every bit of us. Amen. I want to just bless you. I want three ladies to come over and pray for Amber here. I believe God will continue to make Himself real to you. Now reach over to the person next to you and let's just pray and join our hearts. Lord Jesus, we unite our hearts. You're so much bigger than we imagine. You're the author and finisher of our faith. Oh God, this coming funeral, may Your Holy Spirit, the God of comfort, minister. Lord, this little church has had a big impact, and You are mindful of it. I pray for it, oh God. I pray Your blessings on it. And as Moses prayed over the people, the Lord bless thee. The Lord bless you in your coming, and the Lord bless you in your going. The Lord bless you when you sit down, and the Lord bless you when you rise up. The Lord bless you when you're with your family. And may the Lord bless you when you're at work. And may the Lord bless you when you're alone with Him. And may the Lord bless you when you call upon His name. And may the Lord bless you as you give yourself to Him. Oh God, bless this church. And Lord, what You have in mind to do, we trust, Lord, Your will be done. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You can find a place to pray or fellowship. One thing, know this, Skype should never take the place of hugging. Brother Don? Father, for those, Lord, that have been affected by this earthquake, we do pray for them. I thank You for Don, his interest and his concern. That's a good sign. Lord, bless them, help them. Oh God, sometimes, Lord, it's good for us to back up. Just back up a little bit and take a look and see what the Lord hath done. And that You are in our midst, leading and guiding us. Open our eyes, Lord. As last week we prayed, as Elisha prayed, Lord, open his eyes. Lord, open our eyes, open our ears. May we be aware. But these things are ways You speak to us as a result of us seeking you and wanting to know you. And these signs shall follow them that believe, will follow them that seek you, will follow them that put you first, will follow them that love you, will follow them that are concerned about your kingdom. Let it continue to happen, Jesus. In your wonderful name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Come back tonight. Hear a good word.